Ice, ice, baby.
Never more appropriate than right now. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. Let us rewind to yesterday's episode at this exact time, this very exact time, where you and I were discussing the perils of the cold weather and especially the ice. And now what do you have to tell everybody?
I slipped on the ice last night and I have a bruise the size of Cleveland.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes.
Oh, no, you didn't screw up your knee, did you?
No, I fell on my elbow, thank God.
Oh.
You know, actually, Jacksonville is the biggest city by landmass in the U.S., so count your blessings.
Great. Always half full, aren't you, Bertrand?
Well, I give him
full of what?
Shot.
I don't know.
Did you go to the emergency room?
No, my son had a gig last night, and I may have had a Manhattan or two.
Uh-huh.
But I have been walking, like, just really, like Tim Conway's dwarf character. No, that's not
Mr.
him. The
Tudball.
Old man.
Shuffling along.
You're
yes.
like Mr. Tudball.
Yes. Is that who it is?
Yeah. Ooh.
Only you would know his name.
That was his character's name in those scenes with Mrs. Wiggins. Yeah.
Hey, guy.
I didn't know he had a name. I just thought he was old.
None of us did, except Bill.
Just me.
So I have been walking like that for 2 days since that big ice storm happened.
Right.
So I was truly being careful, but this parking lot was complete ice. And just as I approached my car, I went down. And
it's not the WGN parking lot, is it?
No.
It's somewhere else?
Yes.
Right.
I was out last night. And so I was leaning kind of forward because
you're
just trying to keep your center of gravity going.
Right.
And I went down, and I don't know if you recall the other day when it was snowing really bad or icing really badly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking very carefully, and a guy looked at me like, look at you. And then he wiped out.
Yes.
I said, hey, are you okay? Everything good? Some guy saw me fall, did not say one thing to me.
All right, I'm not coming to his defense. I'm just going to explain. Sometimes if you're the viewer in a case like this, you don't want to call attention to the fact that you saw it.
Well,
you
I know.
You feel guilty for seeing it. I know that sounds ridiculous, but you're like, it's best that this woman not know. He didn't know who you were. It's best that this unknown woman not know that I even saw her fall, because that could be worse than the fall itself.
It doesn't mean he didn't take a picture of
it. He took a few pictures. I saw it online. It's really, it's interesting.
I would have thought you needed a flash, Bill, but you didn't need a flash.
No.
I saw him in my peripheral vision, and he was walking to his car as well.
Yes.
And I saw him in my peripheral vision. He kind of stopped when I fell, looked at me, and then got in his car.
Yeah. What do you think made up his mind to keep going instead of stop?
Because I got up right away.
Yeah, that was probably it.
But
just
boy,
went, she made it. She's
I went
alive.
Down.
Oh, that's so painful.
And then I got home, and little Kona was in his crate while we were all watching Michael Jam. So I was really excited to see him, and he was really excited to see me. And when I bent down, he jumped up, and I have a really huge fat lip now too.
Oh, the lip is not from the fall. The lip is from your dog.
Oh, it's from my dog.
So all that happened within what span of time?
About 8 minutes.
Wow. I hope you went to bed after that.
I did.
And then you fell out of bed.
Jasmine, do we have any bubble wrap?
I know.
We should just put you in bubble wrap.
I do have like one side of a fat lip.
Well, yeah.
It's pretty bad.
So there's a not a black and blue mark
it's not,
on your
it
arm.
Will
it's
be
just
tomorrow.
Blue. Cubby blue to make matters worse, because I know you don't like
it.
The Cubs. And Ed Farmer's coming in. You don't want to upset Ed Farmer.
You better change your shirt. Long sleeve.
I got it covered up.
So you've had better days. Is
I know.
That fair?
Isn't that just crazy?
Yeah.
And then my son Michael is a spry 19-year-old, and during that ice storm, he was walking out of a class at College of DuPage, went right down on his knee.
Mm.
So then Jim is very upset, going, two out of my four family members have been taken down.
Right.
I'm like, we're okay.
If this was a horror movie, we would keep a close eye on Jimmy and Dylan
right
now.
But it does look, Steve Cochran said, you know, you can tell us if Jimmy's, you know, doing anything too, because that's what it looks like. I have a really big fat lip.
Yeah.
And a big bruise on my elbow. But no, it's just.
You're going to be okay, though?
Yeah, and I swear to you guys, I am not clumsy.
No.
I'm really not.
Mm-mm.
I may be other things in life.
I think you walk too slow to be clumsy. Like, normally
Ouch,
you would have to have.
Thank you.
You would have to have a faster gait to be clumsy, but you walk so slowly that I can't imagine. What you just described happened to you yesterday is the worst thing I could ever imagine happening to you while in route. You know what I mean?
So, do you have to get, like, dog shots or something?
No, it was my own tooth that went into my lip.
Oh. You should still get dog shots.
I'm not a dog.
Oh. Cancel the dog shots.
Bill, it's obvious.
You should get distemper shots.
No, and he just... he was really feeling really guilty. And it's like, dude, it wasn't your fault.
What does your dog do when he feels guilty?
He just kind of cowered.
Yeah?
Because I might have cried. It really hurt.
Was that bad?
And it was bleeding like crazy. I was putting ice cube on it, and there was a lot of blood. So then I'm like, oh, crap, do I need stitches? But then it stopped.
Then did he go put snow melt on your stoop so you don't fall in the morning?
You should do that.
Did he feel that badly?
No, but that's a new trick I'm going to teach
him.
I got the dog safe one, so he can handle it.
Build a little sled with a sifter in the back so he could just walk back and forth on your stoop.
Was Michael good last night? Did he play?
Was awesome.
Okay, well, then you got that going.
Yeah. So it all balanced out.
It really did. And, you know, everybody was so nice to me, which I'm not used to at home.
Because of this?
Yeah, they're like,
now you're
going to
start
okay?
falling on the ice all the time now, I bet.
Might. I kind of like the special treatment.
They can bring you Manhattan at home. And you don't have to go out.
Drinks for shut-ins.
That'd be better.
I like it.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a break and then more
Just
stories.
Be careful out there.
Thank you, Sergeant Esterhaus from Hill Street Blues. a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. If you're just joining us, we're giving away tickets to Wendy Snyder on Ice. Coming soon to a theater near you.
I got to tell you, it was probably worth watching.
Are you in pain right now?
Just my lip.
And that's not from the ice. That's from the dog incident.
I will say, you know, the underside of your forearm where you rest your arm on an armrest.
Yes.
That's hurting.
Painful.
That if I touch it, it hurts. Oh.
So isn't there some irony that you fell on the ice and then you went home and put ice on your face?
That is ironic.
That is.
Yeah.
That is super.
Well done, Steve.
That's all I got.
Mary, you're like Gallagher.
I was trying to think who the comic was.
Driving the Parkway?
Yeah. That's Stephen Wright.
I was thinking Stephen Wright a little bit, too. Oh, yeah.
And Mary mentioned, you know, have a Manhattan at home. 312 says there's a new booze delivery service. Instead of Grubhub, it's Glughub. And instead of Uber Eats, it's Boozer Treats.
Oh, That works out nicely.
I got to download the apps.
This weather always reminds me of when once it gets to be this cold, I always think about the car that I had in college. I had a Mitsubishi, and it was one of the first cars. Now, remember the days when if you looked at your speedometer, it was always the needle kind of speedometer that showed it kind of moved with the speed. So the year that I got this Mitsubishi, it's when they finally started to change to the digitized, like LED. And when it would get this cold, all the numbers would just freeze, so it always looked like you were doing 99.99 miles per hour. As soon as you turned the car on, it just couldn't read the cold. It didn't know how to deal with it. We don't know how to deal with it, but the car would just give up and go, I don't know what to do. It's just cold. That's all you need to know.
Well, does everybody have over half a tank of gas? Because tonight's the night you're going to need it. And I bet you never do.
I never do.
Okay, it's going to be, what, 8 degrees, then down to 2, then wind chills 25 to 30 below.
Regular temp 7 below tonight, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
You better fill it up.
I'll put extra gas in tonight.
Do you need money? I know you only have $20.
No, I got ways to make extra money. Don't worry about me.
We do a GoFund bill.
I'll go to a dance club on the way home, pick up some singles.
He's going
to
deliver Uber drinks.
You're married. Why could you pick up singles?
Not those kind of singles.
Oh, Mr. Tudball was the CPA.
Wendy, didn't you? So he said he was going to go do a dance hall on the way home and pick up some singles.
Right?
Right. So how do you get singles at a dance hall?
By dancing.
Well, I know that. You don't have to explain it. If you have to explain it, it's not funny.
But then you said he was married, so I thought you missed the
whole
thing.
I went the other way. Okay. No, I went the other way.
Okay.
Can you imagine Mr. Chippenleff?
Oh, come on. That would be really weird.
Well,
don't tell people my secret name.
But somebody...
I got to change my password now on my computer. I hope you're happy.
Mr. Tudball was the CPA. The old man didn't have a name, according to 312. But you checked yourself, didn't you?
I checked myself before I wrecked myself, Wendy. His name was Mr. Tudball. That was Tim Conway's character's name. Mrs. Wiggins, that's the secretary.
Someone else says, Bill, I believe Tim Conway's character was, quote, the oldest man, not Mr. Tudball.
Really? I thought they referred to him as Mr. Tudball, and I'm on several websites that show pictures of him and Carol Burnett saying Mrs. Wiggins and Mr. Tudball, and with various scenes that they were in. It's possible.
I doubt it. I'll go with you.
It's possible.
You'd be my lifeline. Next time
you.
I fall, I'm calling you.
All right. Good.
And I don't keep my dog in a crate all day. He was in it for 3 hours. Somebody's like, you keep your dog in a crate all day? How mean.
Just when everyone's out of the house.
Yeah, it was 3 hours.
Right.
2.5, actually.
Because you don't want things destroyed in your house while
you're
gone.
He's still a puppy. He chews everything.
Yeah.
Lips.
Yep.
He didn't bite me. That I will say. It's just a headbutt.
Which is what you tell people to do all day. How ironic that that's the one thing he didn't do. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, the cold makes you funnier.
Thank you.
I'll tell you that.
Thanks.
I'm very excited to have Ed Farmer in the studio.
Isn't it great when we talk to him? Ed Farmer, a legendary pitcher for almost every major league team at some point in his career. He pitched for nearly everybody, most notably the Indians, I think, and then the Rangers, and then the White Sox. But he was with all of them. Longtime announcer for the White Sox. We love him. He's one of the nicest guys in the world.
He really, truly is.
And to celebrate the opening of Sox Fest, he'll be stopping by the studio in just a little bit. I can't wait to talk to him.
All right. Well, he's coming up later on. And after the 10:30 news, I watched this YouTube video because I'm trying to pretend I'm young. I watch a lot of things on YouTube.
Yes.
And I know when you eat cereal, you're the only one I know who doesn't...
No
lubricated.
Milk. Right. It's just the cereal. What they say in the cereal business is dry cereal. I don't want milk anywhere near it.
Do you even take the time and waste the time to put it in a bowl?
Not always.
You just eat it out of the box?
I reach in. You can usually tell by my arm which cereal I've eaten. Like today, as you can see, I have Kaboom on my arm.
Yesterday, I noticed a rainbow. Was it Fruit Loops?
Yeah, I had Fruit Loops yesterday, Kaboom today.
What's Kaboom?
Oh, that was a cereal that had a deranged clown on the box.
Only you would know that.
Do you remember? You don't remember Kaboom cereal?
What did it taste
like? Little balls,
like?
Wasn't it?
No. Rings, different colored rings.
I don't remember it then.
Purple, orange, green, yellow, red rings. And I think I was most drawn to it by the Pennywise-looking clown that was on the box of Kaboom.
Okay, I don't remember the crazy Pennywise Kaboom box, but they were little clown faces. That's what they're showing here.
I seem to remember them being rings, but it could be clown faces. Maybe they updated it at some point. Oh, no, that's it. Yeah, they were...
Did you not notice that was a face when you were eating
like
them?
It looks like the mask of tragedy is what it looks like, doesn't it? It doesn't even look like a face. Ooh, it's scary.
It's pretty scary. Why would you go there?
I don't know.
Well, this guy is a cereal expert. He's actually an attorney from St. Louis as his real job, but he comes up with he's like a mixologist for like a bartender. He does it with cereal. There are certain ways to layer your cereal where you can put something on the bottom. The YouTube video says you want the sugary stuff on the bottom.
Yeah, always.
Because the milk, not for you.
Not for me, but for everybody
else.
See,
this isn't even going to work for you.
Well, whatever he says, I'm sure there's still ways to combine cereal to make it even more delicious.
I never thought to combine cereal,
did you? Yeah. Every once in a while we would do that. Like, my mom used to condense, if we had a bunch of boxes that were down to like 10 or 15%, she'd throw them all in the same box.
And
it was like a sugary trail mix. You'd get a little, there's some Applejack and some Frosted Flake. It was really good.
That's genius.
Yeah, it was great.
All right, well, we're going to find out about that. A cereal mixologist, as we mentioned, Ed Farmer coming up after 11 o'clock news, and Dean Richards.
All in one show?
It's no... Who did we talk to yesterday?
Yesterday we talked to Joyce Boulafont, and we talked about mass murderers all in the same show.
Ted Bundy, I think.
Ted Bundy, most notably, yeah.
Well, today's a little different.
Right. Right.
Are you let down that we don't have Joyce Boulafont again?
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
You still have her phone number, don't you?
I do.
Check in.
Everybody could hear you raise your eyes. I've never heard. That was crazy, but with your eyes closed, they're like, Wendy just raised your eyes, did she? Yeah, I looked over, and yeah, you did.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back, we'll do some news, and then we'll start this whole show. I am going to remain in my seat and not try to walk even here in the studio.
That's for the best.
And someone recommended a mouth guard. Maybe I should have a mouth guard when I'm petting my puppy.
Maybe. All right, a lot more ahead. Stay here, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Cereal, it's the best material. Cereal. It's so tasty.
That's beautiful.
Did you write this?
I didn't write this, but this is... I used to think Let It Be was the most beautiful song ever. This is the most beautiful song.
Can I tell you how much I love cereal?
Yeah.
It's perfect. Sometimes when you want a little sweet something before you go to bed, and there are no cookies in the house, nothing better than a bowl of cereal.
Get some Cookie Crisp cereal, Wendy.
You have been eating cereal quite a long time.
Yeah, forever.
And you have never put milk in it?
No.
Ever?
Nope. I don't believe in it.
How many boxes do you have in your house at any time? Do you usually have a few? Or?
Between 6 and 8, I would say.
Really? Different cereals?
Yeah.
What kind do you have in your cupboard right now?
There's Count Chocula.
It's like going to the author's bookshelf.
Most of them now, I hate to say, are healthier cereals, but there's always still one or two what would be called kid cereals because those are better.
I like Golden Grahams.
Yeah. Those are really good.
I really like Special K pecan and cinnamon. That's on your healthier side.
Right.
But man, Lucky Charms.
So good.
Oh, totally good. We have a cereal mixologist on. Ed Herman is with us. Ed, we all love cereal, but I don't think we all love cereal as much as you do.
Well, I don't want to, maybe you do, probably not. I've been eating cereal. Obviously, it's one of those great foods, like you say, you started in childhood and you keep it your whole life. It's a nostalgic feeling. I know for me, I eat certain cereals and it brings me right back to being a kid.
Ed, for the most part, when I was a kid, I made my cereal choice based on what toy was buried in the bottom of the cereal.
Yeah, and that's something, and now there are no more toys and cereal.
It's not fair.
You know, the cereal is the prize.
Right, yeah.
All right, so your video has gone viral on YouTube. It's Ed versus Cereal, and you are an attorney by trade at Brown and Crouppen in St. Louis, Missouri. But you are also a cereal mixologist, and what piqued my curiosity is there's a system to it where you can actually have layers of cereal. I never thought to do this.
Well, and I was shocked because it's been a big hit on YouTube with about almost 250,000 views, but it's been viewed on Facebook over 1 million times already. And a lot of the comments that I've gotten were for people that had never even thought about mixing their cereals.
Now, Bill's mom used to go ahead and explain.
When I was a kid, we had so many boxes of cereal, Ed, and they would get down to where there was almost no cereal in the box. There'd be 10% left in almost every box.
Yes.
So she would just condense them all into one big giant Tupperware container that had 6 or 7 or 8 kinds, and it was fantastic.
If you happened on the right combination, it probably would be.
Yeah.
But there seems to be more thought that goes into it, which Ed does. There are layers. Like I learned when you're layering something, a good base cereal, is that the sweetest one?
No, the base cereal is usually your plain cereal.
All right.
Like that's that basic. You know, think of a Cheerio, a Corn Flake, a Rice Krispie.
Special
and,
K.
And right, a Special K, Wheaties. Product 19, for those who remember Product 19, which was a delicious base cereal.
Yeah.
Corn Chex, Rice Chex, even regular Life, not Cinnamon Life, but regular Life would be considered a base cereal.
Like Cheerios. Would you say like an oatier cereal like that?
A plainer one.
Yeah.
Just a
plain grain.
Okay.
You know, it could be a corn, could be an oat, could be a rice.
All right.
And then, you know, you have your milk influencers. And these are sweet cereals that will change the milk.
Mm-hmm.
So all of your chocolate cereals, your Cocoa Puffs, your Count Chocolas, your Cocoa Pebbles, your Cocoa Krispies, and then your fruit cereals, your Trix, your Fruity Pebbles, Fruit Loops, stuff like that.
We're getting
idea.
There's a lot of text coming in. What about Dig'em Smacks?
I love those.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the old they used to call them Sugar Smacks. Those are delightful.
You guys just found two friends. You guys should be friends, by the way. I didn't mean
friends.
To interrupt you. Go ahead.
No. But that's the beauty of cereal. It brings, in an otherwise rough world, it brings people together.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember Buckwheats?
Yeah.
Well, Buckwheats were sort of like a non-sweetened version of a Sugar Smack. You know, you had a puffed wheat, right?
Yeah. No, yeah. I thought it was a flake with a little bit of, like, maple syrup on it. That's what I remember buckwheats being.
Really? I don't know.
I don't know those.
It might have been regional. I don't remember any buckwheats.
Huh.
But I'm sure it was good. I mean, that's the beauty of cereal is that you're getting a combination of things that are very pleasurable. You're getting a little sweet. You're getting a crunch.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are so many aspects of it that scratch you right where you itch.
and the key, Ed, is the layering, right? Is putting them in the right places.
Right.
That's the key to this.
And that's the thing is I tell people, figure out which of the cereals you're using is going to have the biggest influence on the milk.
Oh.
And you put that in first because that's where the milk is going to collect. So if you are using a Cocoa Pebble, you definitely want to layer that on the bottom because you want the milk. If you're using a Cocoa Pebble, it's because you want the milk to change to that delicious chocolatey milk that it gets from a Cocoa Pebble.
Yeah.
And then I'll usually go with sort of the base in the middle and then maybe go back to the sweet on top. So, you know, you get that on those early bites. You definitely want that in the early bites. And then some of the ones I do will have three cereals in it. I did one actually a little earlier today where I took a corn check, mixed it with the peanut butter Captain Crunch,
yeah,
and Cocoa Pebbles, which to me creates not only a better chocolate peanut butter combination, but the different textures make it that much more delicious than, say, just getting a Reese's Puff cereal, which proclaims to do it all in one shot. It really doesn't.
Could I suggest something to you based on that theory? Take the peanut butter crunch, Captain Crunch, and add the crunch berries, because then you're getting like a peanut butter and jelly combination, which is very good.
Yeah, I think that, yes. And I think if you were going to do that, you want to use the Oops All Berries.
Yes.
As opposed to the Captain Crunch.
Yes. 100% right.
I think that's a great combination.
Oh, that's
right,
so
there.
Good.
All right, I don't like my foods to mix. I like to section off my foods, and I kind of don't like my cereals to mix. I can't imagine having a fruit with something else.
It works, though.
Well, but think of it like this. I mean, some people will put fruit in their cereal, sliced banana, occasionally sliced strawberry.
Yep.
We're getting you there. That's going to be step one in getting you comfortable with the notion of a fruit taste with something else. And a lot of the companies now are starting to make cereals that are sort of already mixed. You're seeing Lucky Charms with flakes instead of with the normal pieces. So they're even starting to play a little bit.
Yeah.
They'll bring you along. I mean, you know, I talk in the video about Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries as being a cereal that you don't have to mix with anything because they've kind of already done it for you. They took their base Captain Crunch, they added, you know, the crunch berries, and kind of took the work out of it for you. So have you ever, I mean, I'm assuming you've eaten that.
That's one of my favorites.
Sure.
Although I haven't had it in years.
Oh, it's so
good. Know, but see, that's the point is you don't think of that as a mix because that's the cereal, but it really is a mix.
Ed,
so we can get you there.
Can I ask a favor, Ed?
Sure.
I know you're an attorney. Can you represent me in anything I'm ever needing an attorney for the rest of my life, please?
And you get the point, because I don't know if you checked out the rest of the channel. In addition to the cereal video,
yeah,
you know, I've done one on the movie Home Alone and one on the movie The Dark Knight.
Yeah,
as a lawyer looking at those films and seeing it from a little different perspective, I've got a new one coming out at the on February 1st, Ed versus Candy, which I think if you're a food lover and you feel, you know, like you know candy or you're nostalgic about candy, I think that one's going to be popular. But it's all part, if you don't mind me plugging how people can find these videos, if they go to getbctv.com, it will take you right to the YouTube channel. You can watch all of my videos, plus, our firm has put out a bunch of other, and they're all entertaining. They, you know, some of them maybe have a little tie to the law, but it's really just designed to draw some attention, to entertain, to get people familiar with us. As people, you know, relatable people with just normal people living out there. I mean, I am a lawyer, but that's not all I am.
Right.
You know, I'm very passionate about a lot of other things and things that people can connect with. I just shot this last week. I've got one that's going to come out the end of March on airplanes, which I think has got a lot of funny stuff. And also one about how to take a nap.
Oh.
You would think that people would just know, but I talk about the different types of naps. And how to get a really good one.
Is it possible, I know they say you should only sleep like 20 minutes is the perfect nap. Why can't you take a two-hour nap? That's what I like.
No. Yes, and you're 100% right. And, you know, that 20-minute nap, the so-called power nap,
yeah,
I dismiss it in the video very quickly as total nonsense. I believe that that is a conspiracy that is generated by the non-nappers in this world that don't want to see the rest of us get rest. You know, because I say in the video, I say there's two types of people in this world.
Yeah.
Those who take naps and those who ruin naps. And you're one or you're the other, and you don't want to be around those people. You want to surround yourself with people like yourself.
This is
nappers.
Perfect. Ed Herman is our guest. We will continue this conversation in just a moment. Stick around. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right, I cannot believe all the texts we are getting about cereal. One that I would love to discuss with our guest, Ed Herman, partner at Brown and Crouppen in St. Louis, Missouri. Do you have, like, are you also the cereal king, a cereal mixologist? Do you have a title?
Well, I say, you know, I like, you know, I don't have to throw around titles, but yeah, they will say I'm the a licensed cereal mixologist.
licensed by whom?
You know. Well, it's a self-licensing, you know, which is the easiest way to get a license.
Well, someone texted in, did you guys see the chocolate Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries that is out now for Valentine's Day?
I did, and I'm withholding judgment, but I'm nervous because one of my tenets of cereal law is to not mix a chocolate cereal with a fruity cereal because they fight over control over the milk. And so I somebody sent me a picture of that, and I told them, I said, I will try it before I go out there and make an opinion on it. I also noticed there's another new cereal that my wife just brought into the house, that Nilla wafers, you know, those cookies that people, they're delicious, and they will make banana pudding with them. And sort of layer those things. Well, there's now a Nilla wafer banana pudding cereal. And I have it on tap for Saturday morning's breakfast because I will only eat cereal on the weekends.
Is that true?
It is, because I know that it's probably going to be the thing that kills me, and because it's not particularly good for you. And so I limit it to weekends only. Now, bear in mind, I eat a portion large enough to have sustained me for an entire week.
It was always, Ed, on Saturday mornings, it was always good if cartoons were on. The cereal made the cartoons more enjoyable, and the cartoons made the cereal more delicious. I can't explain why it just did.
And, you know, when I was a kid, I don't know, I'm sure it was like this with you, but reading the cereal box, I read more cereal boxes than books by a long, like by a mile.
Yep.
You know, God!
I knew the word riboflavin before I knew almost any other word.
But see, that's such a great idea. For the novels the kids have to read in high school, like put To Kill a Mockingbird on a cereal box, and kids will read it.
At least, put like the first chapter on, get them hooked, and then hopefully, you know, they'll either buy the book or maybe the next box of cereal could have the next chapter. I think it's a great idea.
I still have Monkees and Archie's records that I got off the backs of cereal boxes.
Sugar.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah.
All right.
That's going back.
Ed, before we put you on, I like to make fun of Bill because he does not eat his cereal with milk. And I don't understand that's such a marriage that goes together, milk and cereal. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, obviously, it was designed to go with milk. However, it is a delicious snack food. And you know, there are certain cereals I even talk about in the video that you never should put milk in. Things like Honeycomb, I think, just works better as a snacking cereal. Cookie Crisp, I think, works better as a snacking cereal. You know, it's odd. But, you know, I know a lot of people that are lactose intolerant, and they don't, you know, they don't have it with milk. And you know, a lot of people, the other thing people do is use it as an ice cream topping. I'm thinking of doing a video where I match up, you know, depending on the ice cream flavor, the perfect cereal to use as a topping, because I think I have some expertise there.
What would be the which give us the cereal that comes to mind immediately when you think that's perfect on ice cream?
Well, I think, you know, Fruity Pebbles is the perfect, is a great topping. It's great for something like strawberry ice cream where you're already going to get the good strawberry, but to have the extra fruit on top and the crunch, I love having that kind of crunch on something. So that's a good one. I think Cinnamon Toast Crunch on plain vanilla ice cream is, I mean, if you were making an apple pie and you were going to put a scoop of vanilla ice cream on it, why not put some Cinnamon Toast Crunch on the whole thing? It's going to work with the apple pie and the ice cream.
I like that idea.
Ed, complete this
next level thinking.
Complete the sentence. Honey comes big. Yeah.
Something small.
It's not small.
No.
Honeycomb's got.
And they are big.
They're huge.
Wagon wheel. I mean, remember they used to hold it up to their eyeball in the commercial?
Yes.
And you could see that it was bigger than their eyeball? That's why it's a great snacking cereal, because you can just sort of do one at a time you eat the whole box.
You know what I noticed in every commercial for kids' cereal when I was a kid? It was about somebody stealing another person's cereal. Every single one.
Fred and Barney
were trying to enjoy Pebbles. Barney was stealing
and
Fred's.
The Trix Rabbit was always the
Tricks
kids were
for kids.
Trying to steal it.
Always after me, Lucky Charms. They were trying to steal cereal. Cereal's only $1.
The Crunch Berry.
Cereal's a couple dollars. Don't steal somebody's cereal. Just buy it.
Yeah.
It's better.
Well, I think the idea is that it's so good that it would take a normally law-abiding citizen.
Right.
and it crosses them over to the other side, you know, because that's how good it is.
If you need an attorney and you're in the St. Louis area, Ed Herman.
Yeah, or Kansas City, we do that. And we do Illinois, and we're licensed in Illinois.
All right, Ed Herman, a partner at Brown & Crouppen. And if you want to just escape from all the crap that's going on in the world, watch his videos. I'm loving the Ed versus Cereal. And again, it's getbctv.com.
Right, getbctv.com. And that'll take you right to the channel. And then just hit subscribe. This way, as our new stuff comes out, you'll automatically get a little alert that says, hey, they posted a new one.
I don't remember F. Lee Bailey doing Cereal videos or Alan Dershowitz, but yours are very enjoyable. Please keep doing them.
Yeah, hey, just because they didn't think of it. You right. know, that's the only difference there.
So true.
I'll tell you what, I did click on the subscribe button, but can we subscribe to have you on when you release new videos? Because you're really a pleasure to talk to.
Oh, well, that would be great. That would be a pleasure on my end. Anytime.
All right. Thanks, Ed.
Thank you. Hang on.
And if you have an email address that you can give me off air, I will send you a preview link to my candy video so that you can watch it before it even goes public on February 1st.
We'd love that.
All right. You'd love that because I don't know anyone in the world who loves candy more than my partner, Bill.
I'm so in.
There you go. Well, I want to hear your feedback. I don't know if it's any good.
Thank you, Ed.
Hang on, Ed, and Jasmine, get his information, because I don't know. He just cracked me up. I loved watching it, and now I'd love to hear his theories on napping and airplanes. It's like, it's just a... It's so mean out there. It's such an escape.
I just want to point out one quick text, Wendy. We got dozens and dozens and dozens of texts about various cereals. One person says, please mention Fruit Brute. That was my favorite. Fruit Brute was the Shemp of the cereal monsters. And that's kind of true, because we all knew Count Chocula, Frankenberry, and Boo Berry. Shemp didn't get his due. But then there was a fifth cereal monster. Do you remember the fifth one? This one's really obscure. They only had it for a little while. Yummy Mummy, which was a banana-flavored cereal, was only out for a couple of years.
Was it not good?
Banana doesn't always translate to artificial flavoring. So
Those banana now and laters were pretty great.
Yeah.
Didn't taste like a banana.
Didn't taste anything like a banana. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe all these crazy texts. And, Bill, someone has sent... something for you, but you don't drink milk at all, do you?
No.
Because this is a cereal bowl called the O-Bowl. You have cereal. It's like a yin and yang sign bowl. And the cereal goes on one side, milk goes on the other, so you can just take a spoonful of dry cereal, and dip it in the milk, and then eat it.
I've seen that in stores, sure.
Crazy things going on in this world.
We will take a break. We'll get you some news. And then Ed Farmer of the Chicago White Sox joins us to talk about Sox Fest. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
Let's go, 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 White Sox! We're with you all.
One of our favorite members of the White Sox, both past, present, and future, Ed Farmer is here in the studio with us to talk mostly about Sox Fest, but whatever he wants to talk about. How are you, Ed? It's great to see you.
It's great to see you guys. It's a little cool outside. Yeah. And you know what's good is the basketball shoes I have on are not good on the ice.
Oh.
Yeah. Be careful. I fell on my elbow last night. I have a big bruise.
You know, Wendy, if I had my Blackhawk stick with me, I could have played hockey out there.
I could have
shot the puck around.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah, please.
What's it like? You just came from California, and now you're just thrown into the deep end here in the freezing cold weather. What's that like for your blood like? Is that
really?
Are you able to, can you get through this?
No. The first thing I did today was I hit the heater on the seat.
Did you?
That was the first thing that went on other than the car. Yeah, give me this thing. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sweating going down the 55, and the guy looks at me and goes, how come he's sweating?
How many times a day does somebody ask you about Machado?
Because we're going to. I think they're waiting for Sox Fest to kick off in order to make the announcement.
He pops out of a cake?
Is that how that works?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Pops out of a cake?
Yeah.
He pops out of a cake. Yeah, sure.
That'd be great.
They ask all the time. I think Machado's asking also, when am I going to get signed?
Yeah.
Just don't know how many suitors he has.
They keep saying they keep talking about a mystery team. That it's the White Sox, the Phillies, the Yankees, and a mystery team. Do you know anything about this?
Might be one of the mysteries of those three you just mentioned.
Yeah? Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Yankees are set. I don't think they make him an offer, although if he wants to play in New York, mm-hmm. he can do that. The Phillies are looking at him, also Bryce Harper.
Mm-hmm.
White Sox are talking to his agent as well.
Yeah,
I don't think we're going to budge of where we are. You know, you can do so many things. We want to make sure he's a good citizen when he plays for us.
Sure.
We want to play White Sox baseball.
Yeah.
But we want to play it without any contingencies of whether or not you're going to hustle.
Right.
Those things all go into the contract.
But he is one of those guys that, as you know, that immediately changes the complexion of a team. If you had a guy of his stature, the team is a whole new team all of a sudden, right?
We said that about Albert Bell when we got him.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Yeah, didn't work.
You know, does he play good with others? We're going to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they're with Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn there. They're going to do a good job getting his contract if it is him for us. But if not, we're going to go on. And we've got a young ball club. A couple of pieces fit in now, you know, with the guys we just signed mm-hmm. at first and also in the outfield with Jay.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, it's a young ball club.
Yeah.
For me, our best player with the most talent is the second baseman right now. And the shortstop's not far behind him with Timmy Anderson. We've got a pretty good unit going out there, even though they're young, and we lost 100 games last year. These guys are growing. But Mancada, he's got gold hands. He's manipulates the ball in and out of the glove quickly.
He's easy on the eyes, too, I got to tell you.
Yeah, that's what he and I were talking
about. Yeah, we're talking saying, about that. Yeah, now. Handsome man.
By the way, nice hat.
Thank you.
Why do you wear a Cubs hat when Ed's in?
I don't know.
He likes to stoke the fire. Come on.
The Cubs are one of the only teams you didn't play for. You played for almost every team in the major leagues
taste.
Except
I think they drafted me when I wanted to be a free agent.
Is that
you
true?
Know, and every one of those guys that I grew up with here, with Banks and Billy Williams
yeah.
and for a short time, Lou Brock,
yeah.
and Sano and Kessinger. Kessinger was my manager with the White Sox until he quit.
Yeah.
And Beckert and Hubs was there. I think it was Hubs.
Kenny Hubs?
Kenny Hubs, yeah. Died in a plane crash in Lake Tahoe. They never found him.
Yeah.
Pepitone was at first for a while, but Banks was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to see Ernie at Cog Hill where I hit balls. And just a gentleman. Everybody on the team cared about one another. Did they play well? They didn't play great, but they had the nucleus there with Banks and Williams. They were super guys.
Hall of Fame quality players playing together on that Cubs team, and yet the team never won. How did that happen?
I can give you a case in point. Mike Messina, that team didn't win in Baltimore, and I was there. Ken Rosenthal wrote a story about me being the scout that put him in for the draft.
Yeah.
I went to see Mike Messina as a freshman pitch against Cal State LA.
Yeah.
Or Cal State Fullerton, and I was working for Roland Heeman, who was the Sox GM. He took over at Baltimore, and he hired me. And I had to go with a guy by the name of Bertie Tebbets, and he taught me how to scout. Just an old manager, but he was a genius at baseball. I had to go with him for a year, and he taught me how to scout. I went to see Messina at Fullerton. He was outstanding, terrific,
really?
Terrific as a freshman.
Yeah,
and he was junior eligible for the draft. So I went to see him against Jim Parquet, who the White Sox signed later. And there were 75 people there to see him pitch. Farm directors, general managers, a couple owners were there to see him behind the backstop.
Mm-hmm.
I counted the 75 people. I said, how many are here? And he was terrible.
Was he?
He was hitting on his heel, his arm. I thought his arm was suspect. Might have elbow problems. His slider wasn't good. And I called the area scout up, and he was at Stanford. I called Ed Sprague, one of my dear friends, and he goes, how was he? I said, he was awful. I said, he's gone backwards. His aptitude of pitching is not there. I'm not sure his elbow is healthy. His fastball lacks velocity. His slider is not moving at all. I said, I saw him better as a freshman.
Yeah.
He goes, if you didn't put a number on him, as you're the cross-checker, I'm not going to get him. I said, I don't want him.
Really?
Yeah, that was on a Saturday. And he called me Wednesday. Sprague did. He goes, he's pitching at the University of Southern California on Sunday. I said, well, I hope he pitches well. I said, I'm going on a 10-day road trip on Monday, starting in Florida. I'm going around the country, and I'm not going to waste my time with Mike Messina.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, no, you got to go see him. And I said, you know, he's a guy that comes from a wealthy family in Montoursville, Pennsylvania. I'm not wasting my time.
Yeah.
And my wife, who knows nothing about scouting, I get off the phone and I said, he can spend his dad's money and he'd be happy. And I hung up on Sprague. My wife, Barbara, says, Why don't you do your job?
Wow.
You worry about me. You don't have to worry about me. No, your job is, what are you going to do? Spend 3 more hours at home with us?
Yeah.
Just go down there and do your job.
Yeah.
Why don't you go down and see him? You owe him that much, and you owe the organization. I'm going, where is this coming from? Did Sprint call you? No. So I went to see him at USC. You know how many people were there to see him after 75 the week before? You're looking at him.
Just
really?
You.
The only guy there.
Yeah.
He showed me everything that he didn't show me the week before. Everything that you could possibly do wrong, he did that Saturday. And everything, he lost the game on Sunday at USC. But I got to see Jeffrey Hammonds also.
Oh.
And his brother was with the Pirates when I was with the Pirates. And I put him in the draft the next year. He was a shortstop, played center field at Stanford. But Mike Mussina became my number one pick. I called Sprague after the game. I said, I got my number one guy. He goes, who did you see today? I said, I went back and saw Mike Mussina.
Yeah.
He goes, how was he? I said, he was terrific.
So that first time, was he just having an off day?
Yeah.
That's all it was.
My wife dropped that one on me. She goes, you didn't pitch good every day, did you? I said, no. I just,
yeah, but how unfortunate.
Right.
You know, that's the day it wasn't going on for him.
Yeah, and everybody else stepped off him. But he had 270 wins, or maybe right at that or just over it, I'm pretty sure. And he was elected to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
They did that on MLB, that story with Ken Rosenthal, and then they put it in the paper, and I'm pretty sure it went national. And I never talked to Michael much, Moose Man. I never talked to him because he was, you know, he was with Rifkin and everybody. But I'd go see my team play as well.
Sure, absolutely.
But he was a terrific guy.
Ed Farmer's here. We're going to talk about Sox Fest. It's coming up this weekend. Stick around. There's a lot to discuss. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
I am covered in goosebumps hearing this song because I will not stop believing. The White Sox, this is just...
It was their theme song the year that they won the World Series not too long ago.
It wasn't that long
ago.
Ed Farmer's
like yesterday,
with us.
Doesn't it?
No.
It feels like it was about
15 years ago. Let's do it again. It was pretty good,
yes.
I got to tell you that.
We need Harold Perry back. That's what we're missing.
Sure. I want Joe Creedy back.
We need Joe Creedy and Harold Perry back, Ed. That's not hard to do.
They're extensively older. I know that.
I know
don't know the range they'd have at third or, you know. But, yeah, it was a special time. For me, it was. My daughter was with me.
Yeah.
And, it was a pretty good.
Is getting to call a World Series win anywhere near as exciting as being on the team when they win a World Series?
I was not on a World Series winner. I was on a World Series team that went and lost.
Mm-hmm.
With the Phillies, and that's not a good feeling.
No, I bet not.
But getting there is something, and you go back to back years, and you go to the World Series, and you don't win like the Dodgers.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you don't know if you're going to win again either.
You're going,
okay, what am I doing? But they played great up until the World Series, and then Boston just overwhelmed them.
Yeah.
By the way, last year at Fenway Park, we beat Sale 1-0. We won 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox last year at Fenway,
and that was baseball's best.
Yeah, there's a little bit of sabermetrics in there, which I think you need, but I also think you need to know what's beating in his chest.
Mm-hmm.
Show me a guy that's not going to quit, and we can do great things. You show me a guy who's tentative about doing it, you're not going to win anything.
Yeah.
Let me ask about Michael Kopech. How's he doing?
He's supposed to be doing well. I mean, you know, we don't get reports on him. He hurt his elbow. And he was throwing 106 with his elbow right on the edge of surgery, and 105, you know. So, and I don't know the guns, but there were 35,000 people there to see him pitch.
Yeah.
What's your fastest ball?
I went to the big leagues at 18 years of age. Ken Harrelson was my first baseman. I made the team from St. Rita to Cleveland Indians. They kept me for a month and then sent me back. They could keep 27 guys the first month. And I beat Claude Osteen with the Dodgers in what became Jack Murphy Stadium. And Alvin Dark, the manager, said, my mom's favorite pitcher, knew nothing about baseball. Ed, Sandy Koufax wants to talk to you. I went, okay. He goes, do you know him? I said, Mr. Dark, I don't know anybody. You know, I'm just 18. And Koufax came over and he said to me, your curveball is breaking at a 45-degree angle. Just turn your wrist. Don't move your arm slot. And pulled down, and he showed me how to throw it. And when I came back from rotator cuff surgery, that's what I threw until I got sick with renal failure. But, yeah, he was I still see him. We share the Camelback Ranch with the Dodgers, so I see him when I go to spring training. I always look for him.
Yeah.
Could you teach me how to pitch a ball and throw different things, or do you have to have the skill to begin with? I can throw a ball.
Well, if you can throw it, then I can show you how to throw it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wendy has been invited to spring training.
No,
for three
I have not.
Teams.
But I mean, it's
three
just
different teams.
Yeah.
Shut
it's very
up.
Rare.
Really?
It's just amazing because I mean, is when you're sitting there watching a baseball game, yeah. To the untrained eye, it's like every pitch looks the same, but every pitch is not the same.
Hopefully not. Yeah. I mean, if the catcher calls for a slider and you throw him a fastball, he's at a slight disadvantage. He looks like somebody boxing back there. If you throw him a curveball and he isn't ready for it, it's going to go to the backstop.
Yeah.
Ed, last season we had an incident with a White Sox pitcher, Danny Farquhar, where he had essentially
a brain hemorrhage
during the game. They didn't know if he'd ever pitch again.
He's
they didn't
the
know
Yankees.
If he was going to live. I was just going to say the Yankees signed him. That's excellent news for him.
Yeah, I mean, you can come back from those things. I mean, medicine moves ahead. It moves ahead of where you were 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we don't see that because our everyday lives take us somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're in that, it's like being at the baseball game. You know, when I walk out on Fenway Park, I know the wall's 315, the left field is 39 feet high. And I look at it, and it's no big deal. Wendy, Bill, you walk out there, and you go, holy cow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're not overwhelmed by it because it's every day that you're in the big leagues that you're witnessing something like that. And not that you take it for granted, but it's a great job. It's a great place to play.
How's your health?
Good. I had full physical yesterday. I felt like a hand puppet at one time.
That's more than we needed to know.
Excellent.
I guess I did.
Ed, when you made the transition from ball player to announcer to broadcaster, whose work did you study? Was there anybody whose work you listened to and you went, that's the way to do this. I got to do it like that.
That's a great great question, Bill.
Thank you.
With Jan Rooney, he helped me a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah, and Vince Scully is a neighbor in California.
So good.
I see him at the food store all the time. And
is he eating healthy?
He looks great. He's like 91.
God love him.
And that voice.
Yeah, flawless.
I told him, I said, as a salute to you, I have a salute to you when I open the broadcast. Because Scully would say, very pleasant good afternoon from Dodger Stadium here in the City of Angels. You know, something like that, or very pleasant good evening. So I'll start the broadcast with that. And also Jim Nance. Fred Couples is a friend of mine, a golfer.
Mm-hmm.
And Nance and he were on the team at Houston in college. And Nance, they won't show him right away when they come on the air on TV.
Yeah.
But they'll show the topography, say, of Pebble Beach. And then they'll put the camera on Nance like 30 seconds later. And I said, from inside the cabin, just to the right side of the 18th green here at Pebble Beach, hi once again, friends, Jim Nance.
Nice.
So I meet Nance and... I said to him, I had to find out why you used the term friends. I said, that's great. He said, what'd you find out? I said, I bought the book about your dad, Always by My Side. He goes, and? I said, page 57, paragraph 3, right after the last exclamation point. Your dad had Alzheimer's disease, and he didn't remember names, but he knew you were his friend. And you say, hi, friend, how are you?
Oh,
you're going to make me cry.
That's
and
so
Nance,
nice.
Nance goes, excuse me? What page was that? I said, you wrote the book. So I'll say, very pleasant good evening from Guaranteed Rate Field, or good afternoon, alongside Darren Jackson, friends, Ed Farmer. Glad you're with us. First of three we've got with the Yankees, and it should be a good series on the mound tonight for the White Sox so-and-so, and for New York, they'll go with this guy. Darren's next with the lineups. We'll call the first pitch, you know, something like that.
Love it. I love listening to you guys. How's Darren doing?
Right now he's in the air. He's coming.
He's going to come in
tomorrow.
Coming
in. Yeah,
right?
We're going to be back with you guys tomorrow.
Sox Fest is going on this weekend. You want to go to SoxFest@chisox.com if you want more information, or just WhiteSox.com, their home website. It's always so nice to see you, Ed.
You guys are kicking me off the air.
Yeah, we have
we
to.
We have to.
That's fine.
We're going to talk to Dean Richards about movies, and he'll be mad.
Cool.
We
want to hear.
So good to see you. Thank you for being here.
You guys need to do the remote at the ballpark.
We can't wait.
I would love to do that. So let's get on this.
Where's Zlowski? Let's
we'll
get him on
happen.
The job.
All right.
Okay.
Deal.
Remember, opening day is coming up, the end of March. We open in Kansas City, then we go to Cleveland, then we're home to start the regular championship season. Should be a good one.
Sounds so good
it's
when you say
good
that.
Good season this year.
It just
year.
Got warmer. It somehow just got warmer. I don't know how. Thank you, Ed.
Thank
it's
you
Ed Farmer,
so much.
Everybody.
Thank you, Ed.
A quick break, and then more of us, Bill and Wendy, on WGN.
knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys. Dean.
He's soon to be Flying Dean.
Flying Dean?
Yes.
What'd you say, Crying Dean?
No, Flying Dean, not crying.
Oh, Flying, yes. No, I'm not crying yet, not until the plane takes off.
Right, that's when you always start weeping. Dean, we only have you for an abbreviated visit because you are you already on the plane? Are you heading to Los Angeles?
I am. I'm on the plane until they tell me to turn the phone off. Oh. So I think we'll have a nice segment or so.
Yeah, we'll go a little
bit
quicker.
You're in the air already?
Not in the air. They're boarding right now, but I'm already seated. I'm doing my man spread, so nobody can be near me.
Oh, that's nice. Dean, about a month ago, we talked to you and you were at an airport in a similar situation, and you were talking about the fact that you can't find a good snack at the airport, and somebody came to your rescue, huh?
Oh, my God. I was talking about how depressed I was that I couldn't find Planters peanut bars.
Yeah.
And I must have had about 50 emails from people trying to help me find them. And what was discovered was that apparently they're discontinued now, which, you know, broke my heart. Mm. Some people said that you can still find them, but, you know, I'm afraid they're, like, you know, coming from Korea or someplace.
Knockoffs? You think they're knockoffs?
Yeah, right. Planters peanuts are, you know, not exactly the real deal.
Tofu
but,
nuts.
I
don't have the note in front of me. I wish I would have brought it. But somebody who works for United Airlines sent me a box full of snacks that I can bring on the plane. Peanuts and beef jerky candy and just like all kinds of
outstanding.
You know, really, yeah, just really nice stuff. So very, very thoughtful Bill and Wendy show listeners.
Oh, that's so nice.
Making sure that I stay as fat as I am.
Oh, stop it.
That's so nice. All right, let's talk about the movies that are coming out this weekend. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to hear about Serenity. I keep saying the stars of it show up on late night talk shows. What's it about?
Yeah, they better keep showing up on those late night talk shows to try to talk this one up because it's a pretty bad movie. It's Matthew McConaughey and Anne Hathaway, both Oscar winners. But this movie starts off, I actually sort of liked about the first half hour of this movie because it looks like and feels like an old-fashioned noir drama.
Yeah.
That's set in sort of this sleepy maritime island where Matthew McConaughey is a fisherman. They take people out on their boat for fishing expeditions. And, you know, there's just like quirky, interesting characters on this island and, you know, people living sort of that island life. And one day, lo and behold, his ex-wife turns up on this island and offers him $10 million in cash if he will murder her current husband, who is very abusive to her. And really, that's about all I can tell you about this movie, because anything else beyond this would spoil the ending of the movie.
Oh,
but
okay.
There are some incredibly bad twists and turns with regard to this scenario. Had they kept it at this drama that they set up, that, you know, the ex turns up and wants him to kill her current wife, it actually could have been kind of interesting, especially the way they were filming it and the way they were presenting it, which was very old-fashioned. Nothing better than the over out of cabin announcement right in the middle of a review. But I hope you can hear me through this. Oh, they're over. But they don't. They go in some very esoteric, very very kind of metaphorical, Ready Player One, digital matrixy, different kinds of directions that yields you a movie in which you have to decide the ending of the movie, which I don't like. Those are not my favorite kind of movies at all. I like you to tell me. I go to a movie, I want you to lay out a nice story, show me a nice story, tell me a nice story.
Sure.
I don't want to be part of the decision-making process with this.
Yeah.
So they lay out several different things, and at the end of the movie, it could have been this, could have been that, could have been something else. Either way, at the end of the day, really, I didn't care. Hey, our captain's speaking to us now.
Oh, put him on.
But anyway, I wound up giving it a Dean's List C minus.
Oh, that's very disappointing.
Dean's List C minus. It's a very disappointing movie that just becomes a complete mess. That, you know, it's, oh, did you hear that? 57 degrees in L.A. right now.
Oh, rub it in. Rub it
Sorry,
in.
Don't want to rub it in.
No, go ahead.
Don't want to rub it in. But the...
why do pilots always sound like they're from Texas?
That's very true. Because I was talking to the pilot before I got on. He's from London. I don't know why he put on that funny accent.
Dean, do they have you, when they show a movie on an airplane and you're sitting there, do they have you review it for the rest of the customers?
Yeah.
They do?
At the end of the movie, they ask me to stand up and
give your summation.
Give her a review.
That's so nice of you.
Yeah, because people care about what I think.
Oh, they do care. They do care. Give us the other movie, The Kid Who Would Be King. That's a kid's movie, right?
That is a kid's movie, and I did not see that when it was screened at a time when I was out of town, so I wasn't able to see it. People are saying that it's very nice. It sounds actually kind of fun. It's a group of young kids set in today's world. One kid finds a sword that's embedded in a concrete embankment, and he's the only one that's able to remove the sword, so it's a take on King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, and it's up to him and his nerdy friends, the other, you know, the knights, if you will, to save Britain, that is in the midst of, in the movie, and sort of in real life, in the midst of, you know, political and civil unrest. So the premise of the movie sounds great. It stars the son of Andy Serkis, who we know from Lord of the Rings, and he's sort of the king of motion capture, but his son, from the clips that I've seen, from the trailers that I've seen, seems very talented and very charismatic. And
is it Andy Serkis's son, Bozo Serkis?
That's his daughter. You know good and well that's a girl's name. don't mock.
Sorry, you're right.
Hey, were you happy with the Academy Award nominations?
Yeah,
I know you guys talked about them.
What'd you think? No major surprises. I mean, one or two minor surprises, but no major surprises, right?
Yeah, I guess the biggest surprise that Bradley Cooper didn't get nominated for a director, which that was a little bit of a surprise. Nice that Spike Lee was finally nominated for Best Director after all of these years, so 30-plus years of making motion pictures.
Yeah.
Wendy
looks confused.
Wait, that was the first time
he's been nominated as a screenwriter, but never as a director.
Really?
Yeah.
Screenwriter, yeah. He won an Oscar 31 years ago for Do the Right Thing, but never, all of these years and all the movies that he's made, has never been nominated for Best Director yet. And I think there's a chance he could win this year. You know, if they go body of work, right, it's possible that Spike Lee could win for this film, Black Klansman, which is very good.
It's awesome.
And his many great films. I have a feeling that might go to Alfonso Cuarón for Roma.
Yeah.
And Best Picture this year, I think, could wind up going to Roma. I personally disagree with that, but... Yeah. You know, I liked A Star Is Born, but it just doesn't seem to be the year for A Star Is Born at all.
Dean,
so,
what do you think about this controversy about this documentary? They made a documentary about a little boy in England who had died years ago. He was murdered by two other kids, and his family wants that documentary stricken from the record. They don't want it to be up for any Academy Awards. What do you make of that story?
Well, I think that I think you ought to respect the wishes of the family. You know, it's their story. It's a painful story. It's a difficult story.
Yeah.
And I think that's more important than, you know, making a movie and telling the story. It's their personal life, and I think that you need to respect that. Some things are more important than, movie making. It's certainly, probably legally, it's the filmmaker's right to continue to present it and, have it up for Oscar consideration. They would make the argument that people would benefit from having it out, but ultimately, it's It's about somebody's life.
But Dean, what would happen if somebody, and they have done this, they made documentaries about 9/11. What if a family or several families got together and said, oh, no, that's too painful for us to know that documentary is out there. How do you separate it? Is it just that this is more personal than something that
this
like
is somebody's kid? I mean, this is their only yeah. their story.
But other people's kids died in 9/11.
Yeah, and I think legally the 9/11 story can be told. But you know, somebody can make a movie about you. Somebody can make a movie about me. There's nothing really that we can do to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
If they take proper precautions of protecting themselves of the use of likeness and image, and there are ways around all of that. So legally, there's probably nothing they can do. Do you have a heart?
Right.
Do you care about somebody else's feelings, about somebody else's loss? That's, sure. I would have to ask myself a question. If I was going to do a movie that I knew was going to severely hurt a family, I would really think twice about doing something like that.
Yep, I get that. Dean, travel safely. You're in Los Angeles for a couple of days?
I'm in Los Angeles for a couple of days, and we're going to talk with Chris Pratt.
Oh, nice.
I love him.
With Elizabeth Banks, mm-hmm. Taraji P. Henson, Will Arnett. They're all voices in the new Lego 2 movie. And we're also going to talk with the cast of the new Taraji P. Henson movie, What Men Want. Tracy Morgan's in that. Erica Badu, who... She got booed on the stage at the Aragon this past weekend regarding some statements that she made on stage about R. Kelly. So I plan on talking with her about that. We'll have some comments on that next week. But yeah, there's a bunch of people from those two movies that we're going to talk to, and then be back in Chicago instead of L.A. to watch the Screen Actors Guild Awards, so we can comment on all
excellent.
On Monday.
And Chris Pratt just got engaged over the weekend, didn't he?
To Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver's daughter.
Oh, I thought you were going to say to Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm like, that is
That'd
weird.
Be interesting.
That's progressive.
That's very progressive.
The daughter's name, as you may know, Bozo Schwarzenegger.
Bozo Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Ask him that. So you just got
like
engaged
to before.
Bozo Schwarzenegger.
Safe travels, Dean.
Be careful, Dean.
All right, see you guys. Have a good weekend.
It's Dean Richards, you guys. He's Dean. All right, we'll take a quick break in just a little bit.
I didn't want to anger Dean by telling him that I liked Bohemian Rhapsody more than I did A Star Is Born.
Yeah, when you're a movie critic and you pick the best movie of the year, you want other people to be in accordance with that. And it has upset him in the past when we've mentioned that we both liked A Star Is Born but didn't love it. It was not, I don't know that it was in my top 10 even for the year.
It was a good movie.
It was good. Right. But not, I didn't think the movie of the year.
Mm-mm.
But it says film critic on his driver's license. He knows what he's doing. We're just amateurs, yeah.
How do you get that on your driver's license?
It costs like an extra $3, but they'll put your profession on your driver's license. Dean says film critic, and then there's a star by it. And, who are we to argue? But it's so funny how polarizing. That movie shouldn't be polarizing because it was a good movie.
Everything's polarizing now.
Yeah, I guess.
And it's just not fun or fair.
It's so funny how, and you can see this throughout the year, a movie will come out. A good example is this movie First Man, which was about Neil Armstrong. So if you go back and you look at the reviews when it came out, people said, this is a cinch. It's gonna be nominated for all kinds of awards. Look for a win for this guy or for that guy. And then as the year goes on, everybody just kind of forgets about it. That movie didn't get nominated for anything, I don't think.
Did you see it?
I did not.
I didn't either.
I did not. I wanted to. It looks good. But over the year, you're going to get 10 or 12 or 15 movies like that, that when they come out, everybody goes, oh, just wait. This thing's going to sweep the Academy Awards. And it just falls flat somehow.
Yeah, that's weird. All right, well, safe travels to Dean. And... we have to take a break. I didn't realize we talked to Dean so long.
A break. there's a chance tomorrow. We had Ed Farmer on today. There's a chance that Darren Jackson will also be on with us tomorrow, and maybe Ed again. We're celebrating Sox Fest over the weekend, so there's a good chance of it.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I really feel the whole Manny Machado thing. You know, wouldn't it be great? I don't agree with you where he's going to come flying out of a cake.
Pop out of a cake. They'll have a cake shaped like White Sox Park, and then he'll just jump out of it. It's going to be fun.
That would be amazing.
Even if they don't sign him, that would be that would get a lot of attention.
He could just jump out and give his announcement. It's not with Chicago, but right. We know you were wondering.
Right. But although if he says, "Hey, I'm a Philly,"
yeah, it's not gonna
things
go
are going to
well.
Get awkward.
All right. Well, yes, we'll see what happens there. Coming up, the stories that matter with Eric Rung from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, right here, 720 WGN.